Good morning. It's good to see everybody here. Good to see all your beautiful smiling faces. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 24 and 25. And then also, if you would, just put your thumb at Philippians 4:13, because after I read 24 and 25, we're going to go to Philippians 4:13. And if you would, when you get to those places, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word. Matthew 25, verses 24 and 25 reads, "Then he who had received the one talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.'" And then now over to Philippians 4:13, which everybody should know that by heart. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so thankful for the reading of your word. And God, you have given us all a talent, a job, something to do for you. Lord, let us not to be afraid of failure. God, but let us serve you with a glad heart. And let us come to you, Father, receiving the strength and the power that you give to us so freely. And Father, we thank you for the power of your word. And we ask, God, this sermon today will change us. And Father, that we will think long and hard about what we hear from your Holy Spirit today. And now, Lord, let every word I speak be from your Holy Spirit and nothing from my own words or my flesh. For we ask it in Jesus' name and we love you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. In these two passages, one man was totally afraid to do anything with the talent that his master had given him. And, well, if any of you have read the parable of the talents, you know the different ones that happened. But I wanted to focus today on failure because I've talked to some people recently who've gone through some things and have thought that there's no way that God could ever use them or that God could ever really love them because something has gotten into their mind. Well, we know the enemy is put there. But today I want to talk about the free, basically you're free to fail. And I don't want you to listen to that title and think I want people to fail because that's not what it's about. But in life, you and I are going to fail. We're going to go through things that are very unpleasant, things that make us think less of ourselves, and other times it makes us think that others see us as less as well. I was reading a very unusual story, something I didn't know about. I was reading about a young man who started off in life at an early age, and his mother had died, his father had died, and his father had died. His mother remarried to a man who didn't like children, and he got sent off at a young age to be a farmhand. And as he grew older, he became 16 years old. He lied to get into the military. He served a few years in the military. He was honorably discharged. Then he went through from the age of 7 or 18 years old all the way up to the age of 40. This young man had many occupations that ended up in utter failure. He practiced law, And because of his anger and his personality, he couldn't quit getting into fights, physical fist fights with people. So he lost multiple jobs that he had because he couldn't control his anger and his temper. And throughout his whole life, he tried many different jobs and he failed. He even reached a point in his life where the utter failures he had experienced because he tried to do everything under his own power led him to a point of such despair, he tried to commit suicide. And when I say try to commit suicide, he failed at taking his own life. And he tried to take his life a few different times and failed at it. And you think, well, golly, what kind of a person could have such a horrible and a miserable life? Well, finally the day came that this man, he became a cook. And he developed a recipe. Some of you may know where I'm going with this. Some of you may not. But this man developed a recipe. And this man who developed a recipe opened up his first chicken establishment and became very successful. And we know this man as Colonel Harlan Sanders, who started the first Kentucky Fried Chicken restaurants. So see, through his entire life, he encountered obstacles, and he let the obstacles in life knock him down and knock him down and knock him down. But here's one thing that we have to admire about Harlan Sanders. He didn't give up. He failed, but he got back up and he tried his hand at something else. And even when he couldn't kill himself, he tried again. But finally, he realized that there was one talent that he had, and that's what he went after. And he opened up multiple chains of Kentucky Fried Chicken restaurants, and he was one of the richest men in the United States of America. So I share this story with you to let you know, each and every one of us, God has given talents and God has given us abilities. And do you know how many times people have tried their hand at something in life and they have failed? Some people have failed to the point where they give up, just like the servant who took his talent and went and hid it because he was afraid. And some people fail to the point in life that that's what they do. They become so afraid that they don't want to try anymore. And a lot of the reasons why we fail in life and the reasons that we're afraid to try to go anywhere is mainly we leave God out of the equation. We leave God out of our life. The things that God has given to us, how do we find out what they are? Well, we have to go to the Lord in prayer and we have to seek God. And in those times of prayer, when we are before the Lord, we have to get quiet. Sometimes we're too busy talking to God, telling God what we want and how we want it, but we fail to zip it. I don't know how many times, you know, teacher in school had to tell me to zip it because I'd be talking to somebody not wanting to listen. But we have to get quiet. We have to zip our lip and we have to get our hearts in tune with God and we have to listen to His voice to speak to us. And if we will listen and if we will receive God's Word, sometimes you might find it by reading in the Bible. You might find something that, hey, This is what I can do. So what talent God gives you or whatever ability or gift or skill, we should take it and use it for God's glory. Now, I'll tell you what. There are things you will give, you know, a try at and sometimes working your way up to toward, you know, I won't say perfection because we'll never be perfect here, But as you're working toward the ability that God has given you, there will be hard times and there will be obstacles in your way and you will feel like quitting. But I want to encourage you today that it doesn't matter who you are and it doesn't matter where you've come from, you serve a God who is great and mighty and powerful enough to accomplish anything in your life that he set out for you to do. In my years of ministry as a pastor, I have failed. And how have I failed? Well, I'm going to name you some stuff. Here goes some dirt, all right? Now, this ain't bad dirt. This is just dirt, the things I've done. I have done things as a pastor before that was things of my own thinking. I didn't go to God. I came up with an idea. It sounded good to me. It resounded in my heart. And to me, it sounded like a good plan. And I really didn't discuss it with anybody else. But I thought, well, here we go. Put it into action. And it failed. And then I started going, oh boy, well, the church ain't going to like me now. I'll bet people have been talking bad about me since this happened. And I mean, my mind and my heart was really full of despair. And then I tried my hand at something else. Sunday school program not going very well. Well, let's do this. We've been on these kind of books. Let's quit using them books. And I saw a Sunday school book somewhere else. And I thought to myself, well, we're going to get these books and Sunday school is going to grow. Guess what? Sunday school didn't grow. Relationships in church didn't work. And seeing I was a young man and I was trying to do everything my way under my own power and authority. And sometimes God will put His hand down in front of us and say, enough is enough. Sometimes God will let us go through things that will allow us to open our eyes and see the mistakes we're making so that we will turn our eyes to Him and say, okay, Lord, it's time for You to take the wheel. I've driven this truck or car off into the ditch and we can't go nowhere now. I can't tell you how many times I have failed with deacons. I have failed with other things in the church. And there have been multiple times that I've come down to a point where I literally wanted to give up because I didn't see any other way. And basically because I wasn't looking to God for the answers. And when I started to... And one thing I did wrong was I started... sometimes I was hiding things that I was doing wrong. I was trying to cover it up. And people... Well, I'd talk to people outside the church. Well, Brother Jim... Man, how's church doing? Oh, it's great. Lying right through my teeth. I knew things was going south. Well, how's Sunday school? You know, we knew Sunday school there. It was, oh yeah, we've had some new people coming. Lied through my teeth again. Well, how's the congregation? Oh yeah, well, we knew folks coming. Been doing ministry. Really just trying to make things look great to the outside world. Because I wanted people out there to think we were doing great inside when really I was stirring a pot and things weren't going very well at all. But the time in life came as a pastor that I had to get down and realize that it's not about me and it's not going to happen from me in any church setting or anywhere I'm at. I've even failed, you know, in family. I've failed with friends. But you know what I have done? I have taken the mistakes and the things that I have gone through, and instead of letting them break me down and destroy me, I had to look back and say, okay, Father, here's where I've gone wrong. Now I need You to take up all the mess I've made, and I need You to get it back in order, and I need You to help me walk the path that You have for me. And help me, Lord, not to be afraid to be humble. See, I had a lot of pride. I really did. And sometimes pride still gets in the way, and I wish it didn't. But I'm a possibility. I'm learning still yet. At almost 55 years old, I'm still learning each and every day to submit to the Lord. But as I gave up everything to the Lord and started listening to God, and I would say, okay, Lord, things aren't going so well in this area of my life or this area of the church or at work or wherever. Father, will you show me what's got to be done? And I will be obedient. I will look unto you and listen only to your voice. And I also ask God to put people in my path to help guide me that he would work through. And I have watched God take situations that I thought were doom and done, and I have watched God take and make something great out of it. And in return, I've given the glory and the honor and the praise to the Lord because he was the one who orchestrated it all. So as Christian people, we cannot hide or conceal our failures. When we fail, this is what we have to do. My uncle or grandpa used to say to me, when you fall off the horse, get back on. You're not going to learn to ride if you stay off the horse and stay on the ground. And he used to say that he said, quitters never win and winners never quit. He said, you got to keep pushing forward. So in life, we have to say, all right, Lord, this is where I failed. This is where I've gone wrong in life, and I want you to show me what I have to do to correct it. There was a farmer, and this farmer had a donkey fell into a really deep hole. And the farmer tried every way possible to get that donkey out of that hole, and he failed. Every attempt failed. He couldn't get the donkey out of that hole. He didn't try to get any help from anybody or anywhere else. He just relied on his own resources and he failed. So this is what he did. He says, well, I'm going to lose this donkey. It's going to die down there. I'm just going to go ahead and get dirt and throw dirt on that donkey and bury it alive. It's going to be dead, whatever, and just go on. Well, he went and got a shovel and he started shoveling dirt into that hole. And every time the dirt would come down into that hole and it would fall on that donkey's back, that donkey would shake that dirt off and then stomp on it and pack it down. And the farmer, he'd throw more dirt in that hole and the donkey would shake it off its back and pack it down. And the more dirt that he threw in, the donkey would pack it down. And then before he realized it, all the dirt that he had thrown, see what he was trying to bury that donkey with, the donkey turned and used his own feet and packed the dirt down as a way to get himself back up out of the hole. So what I'm saying is, when you find yourself in a hole and the devil is throwing dirt on your back, trying to make you look or feel bad, you know what you need to do? You need to cast your eyes toward heaven and you need to look to the Lord. You need to shake the dirt off of your back and you need to put the dirt underneath your feet and you need to let the Lord raise you up in this life, because we have to realize mistakes are going to happen. Failures are going to come our way, but we have a mighty God who is ready to raise us up the moment that we call out to Him. I last weekend I made my wife laugh at me. I was trying to make biscuits. Now, I made dinner for her one night, and I made biscuits. I made homemade biscuits. I was there by myself, and man, everything went great. Baked them in the oven. Man, I think I told some of you that some of them had fallen over. They were supposed to be drop biscuits, but they looked like collapsed biscuits. They fell over. But they baked up good and big, and they still tasted wonderful. And she come home for dinner, and she complimented how good the biscuits were. So last weekend, I'm trying to make biscuits for her again, and things weren't going very well. I mean, the dough was sticking to my hands, and I was putting flour in there and getting frustrated with it. And this is what I did. I took that bowl and I just set it aside. And I said, "I'm sorry, honey, forget it. I ain't messing with them biscuits today. We're just going to eat dinner like it is." And I went off, had my little pity party in the bathroom, washed my hands clean of all that dough. I come back into the kitchen a few minutes later, and there's Janine. Got that dough out on the counter, and she's got it all rolled out, and she's making biscuits and got them on the pan. And she says, "You want to throw them in the oven?" I thought, wow. So in the midst of my failure, she came along and she helped get the job done. Sometimes in our life, God puts people in our path to help us out with things. And those are the people that we need to take in and that we need to hold on to in our life. God will bring people into your life for certain reasons. And I'll tell you what, through my years of ministry, I've had some fantastic people that God has put behind me who've prayed for me, who have served, who have given good ideas. And I'm the kind of guy that I listen. When people talk, they have ideas. Well, let's pray about it. Let's do it together. Because you know what? One thing that we can learn out of our utter failures in this life is that if we keep going and we take those failures and we let those failures make us a better person, we see that we will grow more and more and more. And in the Christian life, the flesh is going to get in the way and we're going to fail miserably at different things in serving the Lord. I mean, if you could talk to Simon Peter right now, I guarantee you Simon Peter would probably say a lot of the same things you and I do today. Simon Peter, he was a man who had a terrible anger problem. He cussed. He swore. He was violent. He was ready to fight. He denied Jesus Christ 3 times. But did he ever give up? No, he didn't. He even cut off a soldier's ear with the sword, lashing out in anger when they came to arrest Jesus. But Peter would probably say the same thing you and I say today. "Well, you know what? I've just messed up so much, I don't know how God could even love me." And that's where we have to look back at the cross. If we don't understand the love, we have to look back at the cross, because the cross is the answer to His great and wonderful love. Because God sent His Son to hang on that cross and to die and shed His blood for our sins so that we would have a way into heaven by receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. But also that cross, that shed blood, when Jesus came, when they took His body off that cross, and on the third day when He rose again and He ascended back into heaven, Jesus said, "I'm going to send you another Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit." And God's Holy Spirit lives and abides within us. And as we go through life, even in the worst of times, it may be sickness, it may be death, and things we were talking about this morning before church, things physically that we have suffered with. I'm telling you what, I'm sure all of us have gone through something that if we could share with one another, we thought we've been through something bad, somebody could say something else that would really probably shock us or make us think, "Wow, my situation wasn't so bad after all." But in these situations, we have the Holy Spirit, and God wants us to rely on Him in these moments, to rely on Him, to trust Him, and to listen. But mostly important, to walk in His footsteps. Because if we're walking in God's will, God's going to show us the way. But if we're trying to do our own thing, and I've told you, God gave us a free will. we have free will, but the Bible says also that the Lord determines our steps. Now, we have free will. We can do what we want to do. But I tell you what, as a Christian, I think I would like to walk in the steps that the Lord has determined for me. So don't be discouraged by your failures. When you fail at something in life, remember people like Thomas Edison, Richard Byrd, even Walt Disney. They were all failures in life before they went on to their greatest achievements. Now in the Bible, God used some people. God took a slave that was hiding as a fugitive from justice and used him to deliver an entire nation from bondage. He took a woman who failed in marriage 7 times and used her to win a city to the Savior. See, you can look at yourself, and I don't know how many times I've done this. I sat in a Billy Graham crusade one time in St. Louis, Missouri, and Charlie Daniels was there playing and all these big names, and I thought, wow, the things this man has done, he is so wonderful. He's accomplished. And he's got Charlie Daniels opening up for him. Charlie Daniels saying, "I'll fly away in Amazing Grace" and all this stuff. And I'm thinking, man, Charlie Daniels, man, a country star. He's got all this money, big house. I mean, I was comparing myself to somebody else. And then I started thinking, I could never do that. I could never have that kind of greatness in my life. I could never be here or there because of who I am and how I was raised and what I was told growing up. But I want you to know that God can put you in places that you never thought possible. See, the Bible says that God's ways are higher than our ways and God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So, see again, we have to get this out of the equation. We got to get this mindset out of the way. And we got to quit thinking with it. This is the battleground. This is where the devil invades you with the negative thoughts and the negative perceptions. But here in the heart is where Christ lives. And if Christ lives in your heart, you need to listen to what the Lord is saying to you in your life. You have a purpose. You have a reason for being here. You were not born by mistake. God loves you for who you are. And it doesn't matter if you have a physical disability. It doesn't matter how young or old. It doesn't matter where you came from. God can use you. But you can't be the type of person who says, "Well, Lord, you gave me a talent. I'm too afraid to use it, so I'm going to go hide it. And then one day I'll give it back to you." I don't want a life like that. I want to embrace life. Yeah, man, I go through some stuff. I got some family members that I want to see saved. I've got things I want to see happen in this life. But all I have to do is give to the Lord and trust Him with it. You know, I've always said this too. I'll say this. I went into a certain church as a new pastor. And I mean, my first Sunday, people come to me going, "Well, you got some mighty big shoes to fill. Because, man, our last pastor was the greatest man, and we don't know if anybody could ever top that." I thought, who wants to hear that on their first Sunday as a new pastor? Well, that's just an ego booster right there. Man, I felt great after that. But this was my reply. And it's not an egotistical reply, and it's not hateful. Because I mean this with a lot of love from my heart. I tell people, I'm not trying to fill the shoes of your last pastor. or any other pastor before that. I'm here to walk in the shoes that God gave me to walk in, and those are the shoes I'm staying in. And I will walk in those shoes until the day that the Lord calls me home or that rapture happens first. Am I going to fail? Oh, yes. Is it going to stop me? No. Has it felt like I wanted to? Yes, it did, because I got weak. But if we're drawing strength from God, and if we're looking unto Him, He can carry things on farther than we could ever think or imagine. There's a little church, I won't say where, it's here in Southern Illinois. And actually, my good friends, I got two good friends, a husband and wife. They bought that old church and made it their house. But I want to tell you this. This little church was down to five people. They were way out in the middle of nowhere. Five people. Didn't think they was going to stay open any longer because they didn't have any offering hardly coming in. And they just didn't see no way out of it. So finally, somebody said, you know what we need to do? Anybody who wants to join in faithfully, this is what we need to do. We need to start praying. We need to give this church to God. And we need to get ourselves out of it and let God have it and let God take control of it. See, when we try to take control of the church, we can destroy it pretty fast. And that's an observation from a man who's done it. I have. I'm being honest with you. But they took that little church and gave it to God. And they waited some time. But it wasn't long. This family came. Another family came. This individual came. These few folks started to come. Because these people gave it to God and they were doing the work that God wanted them to do and they were faithfully obeying. And at the end of it all, they packed that little church out so much they had to build onto it and they packed that out. And it was still running over so much that they were having to do two services in that little church to accommodate everybody coming there. And they were having baptisms. People were being saved. Sunday school grew to an enormous amount. And they finally had to end up going out somewhere else. They had some land given to them. They built a church, a big church. And as far as I know, that building is sitting there and it's paid for. And that church is completely full still to this day. They got a new pastor. They've had a few, you know, come and go. But that church is still full. But you know what that church does? They are still letting God do it. That's what they're doing. And I got to experience that church this past September. Well, you know, I run races sometimes. I don't do as many as I used to. But I went and ran a race on a Thursday night. And that church was there. And every one of those people was telling people about Jesus. Witnessing. Giving away. They were serving food for free and telling people about Jesus. They were giving them physical food, but they were also giving them spiritual nourishment, which they needed. So see, God took that little church. You know what? God can fill this church. God can fill that Sunday school department up there. Don't ever look at a situation and say that's an utter failure or it's never going to happen. Because I serve a God who is capable of doing anything. And then now, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know what that verse says? If we're doing it through God, we can do it. Will there be failures along the way? Yes. Do we quit? No. What do we keep doing? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Well, the Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God and resist the devil. He will flee from you. So, in your life, are you letting God run everything, or are you letting yourself get in the way? That's the question. If we can answer that question and say, well, I'm getting in the way, then we need to submit to the Lord and get ourselves out of the way and let the Father work.